This is the Horse Radio Network.
Good morning, horse people. This is Coach Jen from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for May 7th, episode 1164.
Good morning.
It's Thursday.
Let's kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
Your presence is required on the command deck.
Welcome back to another classic revisit, everyone. This time, we've coaxed out of the Hit 'em Audio Vault a 90-minute edutainment blockbuster featuring the best use of old horse show ribbons ever, Dr. Kerry Williams' award-worthy explanation of antioxidants, and the happiest pair of trivia players ever to grace the airwaves. Enjoy!
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us here at Horses in the Morning. We appreciate you being here. I can put a myth, a horsey myth, to rest today, officially.
Really?
Yeah, last week on the show, I don't know how this came up, but remember last week on the show, we were talking or we had heard that they put dye in the food of the royal horses for Princess Diana's wedding so the poop would come out colored the way they wanted it. Where did we hear that?
It was a news story that you read or found somewhere about the wedding, and they made the poop come out the color of the flowers. And I said that that's total crap. Was it Jennifer that had it as a question?
I don't remember.
On Trivia Challenge? God, I've got to take some ginkgo or something.
I only use reliable
sources. You know that.
I can officially give you a verdict on this. Yesterday, we recorded the driving radio show, and it was David Saunders, the royal coachman to the Queen for 20 years. And by the way, yesterday was the 33rd anniversary of Princess Diana's wedding. David actually drove one of the carriages in the wedding. He took Prince Philip to the church. So Princess Diana's mother, I believe. So that was who was in his carriage. But he had some fascinating stories. And I said, okay, David, I have this myth for you. What's the story? And he said, nope, not true. It's not true.
They didn't do that.
However, he said there was a strict schedule on when we fed the horses so that they wouldn't poop during parade time. So they would. And he said they would even go down to each horse knowing their cycles so that there would be the least amount of poop during parade time.
That's ridiculous, too.
But apparently they rehearsed for the parade at like 3 in the morning. They would close off all the streets, and they would rehearse for the parade at like 3 in the morning. So they'd get the horses all out there. They'd have to be out there, and they did that a couple of nights in a row. He said, you weren't allowed to be 30 seconds late to the red carpet. Your carriage was to be on that red carpet on the second was supposed to be there. He said, this thing was so choreographed.
Wow. That's your tax dollars at work, people. There you go.
He has a fascinating story. You have to listen to the beginning of the driving show because he went on for about 15 minutes all about the stuff they did for this wedding.
I want to know, though, was it something Leslie said at Horse Nation? I want to know why we brought this up. So if somebody can post on our horses on the Facebook page when this whole thing came up, why we were talking about it, and who said to us that horse poop was dyed different colors. I can't remember for the life of me, so somebody please tell us.
Now, he did say they had about 100 poop people, pooper scoopers, and he said the poop didn't hit the ground for more than 30 seconds before it was cleaned up.
Oh, yeah. That I can see.
He's fun to do shows with because he has so many stories. I mean, you know, he lived quite an interesting life, so he has so many stories about all these things. But anyway,
so
you'll hear that at the beginning of the driving show.
Okay, so if he didn't co-host, he was interviewed on the driving radio show?
No, actually, David's co-hosting now. Wendy's taking a week, a month off, And David's filling in as co-host for a week every month, and that's been a lot of fun having him on board because he knows everybody. And, you know, he's just so interesting, and he has so many stories to tell. So, yeah, he's co-hosting once a month.
That's great. I wonder if the Queen has found out about this and is terrified that he's going to
he signed all kinds of documents.
Really?
Yeah, he's only telling what he's allowed to tell.
Wow.
No,
that's great.
No deep, dark secrets. Well, Jennifer, you have to get a guest on the line here because we have an early guest coming up. So why don't you tell us what's coming up on today's show?
On today's We're Just Happy to Be Here Wednesday edition, we will start with what we believe to be our very first and probably last ever quilting interview with the woman behind the viral horse show ribbon quilt picture that you've all seen. And then next up, the Horse Health Report takes on antioxidants. And screaming past the break and to a skidding finish like a pony who just rolled in a fire ant's nest, the EquityMFG.com trivia comes back. And today, you're going to have to stay tuned for the fray, folks, and buckle down.
Thank you, Jennifer. Excited. We have a lot of fun stuff today. And I have to tell you, you came up with the question of the day on Monday. And, you know, we do a question of the day on Facebook a lot of days, and they're usually silly, stupid stuff. And we get, 10, 20 comments on it. You came up with a question of the day on Monday that got 62 comments. And
That's
it was
insane.
One of those things I thought would get two. It was good. It was, you know, what was the question again? It was about the shopping carts in the parking lot.
Do you put your shopping carts back in the little corrals when you go to the grocery store? And apparently, there's not many people who don't. So I don't know who's leaving all those carts out there because they're not our listeners. They're not horse
not
people.
It was funny, some of the comments and stuff, but that was a successful one. I have the question of the day today, and this relates directly to what the trauma my wife went through yesterday. We'll get to Bailey when he's here, but she went through trauma. She came home completely traumatized. Hadn't been to the eye doctor, hadn't gotten new glasses in a number of years. Went to the eye doctor yesterday, came home, and was just about in tears and said, I just spent $890 for my checkup and new glasses at the eye doctor. And kid by the fanciest glasses, but because she has progressive glasses, you know, how they have to do the three levels now, one for your distance, one for your computer, and one for reading. So they have those now and everything. And she was just totally in shock and just about in tears. So the question of the day is, does anybody else find the price of eyeglasses totally ridiculous? Do you realize you can buy the best laptop for $900? You can't tell me there's more technology in a pair of glasses than there is in a laptop that's one of the best out there for $900.
Wow. Well, you can get a really nice used dressage saddle for $900. So,
you know, we haven't spent that much on our horses.
Yeah, exactly. I think I've got 4 horses out there that collectively cost less than 1 pair of glasses. I can't believe you spent that, Jennifer. I just said, you know what? Well, what I did was, again, for some reason, glasses are really expensive, and I went to the eye doctor, and I got my test, and they're like, oh, yeah, it's time, you know, to wear them at night and when you drive. So I went and looked at the price of glasses, and it was hundreds of dollars. So Chad, being a fighter pilot, they give him military-issue glasses for his night drive, whatever, you know, for whatever, I think one time he came back 2010 or something. So his prescription is close enough. So I
wear his
glasses. Yeah. He doesn't wear them. He's like, I don't need them anymore. You just can have them. So I have all these military issue prescription, really nerdy glasses that I get from him. And they're close enough.
How do low income people, I mean, we're pretty low income. $900 was a hit for us. How do people make less than us buy glasses? I mean, even if they're only $400 or $500, that's still $400 or $500 for glasses.
That's crazy.
I know.
That's
crazy. Just nuts.
Well, I'm sorry. That sucks. That's a lot of pay.
You know, if you get them every 4 or 5 years, I guess you have to amortize them over time. And I do wear contacts, you know, because my eyes are really bad, and I wear contacts. And, you know, that probably costs me $300 a year for the kind, you know, that I can wear all the time. So, you know, it adds up, I guess. Well, let's, sorry, had to.
Daily winning.
You're up first.
Okay. I just wanted to let everybody know that, and my daily winning kind of goes out to you for getting a cat trainer on the show to help me out with effing Frank, the cat who in the middle of the night wants out, wants in, wants out, wants in. I can't have cat doors because I have glass French doors. I'm not cutting a hole in the side of my house for a stupid cat. So the cat training... we had a cat trainer on the show who told me, you know, feed him late at night, play with him late at night, do all these different things to help my cat to stop standing outside my freaking bedroom door going, meow, 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 either in or out. It doesn't matter if he's in, he wants out, if he's out, he wants in. So I have figured out what to do. First of all, I tried, this really worked too, but I can't always find him at night to do this, is to lock him in his room. There's a room that I have, you know, in my office here with the kitty boxes in the closet, his food and water's in here. So if I catch him and I can get him in the room and I can lock him in the room, he's fine. However, that doesn't always work. So what I did the past couple, well, actually just last night was the first time, and I think it's gonna change the world.
Benadryl?
With F. Frank. No,
Benadryl?
Glenn. Oh. It was about 3 this morning. He's standing aside, and one meow just sends my spine, like, tingling, you know. So 3 in the morning, I hear the first meow. Like, maybe he's going to go away. Meow, meow, meow.
They never go away.
So here's what I did. No, they never go away. They just don't. He won't quit. So I went into my closet, and I grabbed a cowboy boot of my husband's. And I opened the door, and I chucked the cowboy boot at the cat. Successfully hit the cat. He ran away. I didn't hear from him the rest of the time. I think that's the secret. Is a couple nights in a row, if I just hit him with a boot, he'll eventually quit meowing at my door. Does anybody agree with that?
Good luck with that.
I'm telling you what. I think it's going to work, Glenn. I think.
You know what?
And for any unwanted cat behaviors, throw something at them that's heavy.
You know what? If you know, it might work. It might be a permanent fix if you hit him just right.
I do love the cat, but I don't love the cat meowing at 3 in the morning. He makes me so mad. I want to shoot him. I'm like, I will throw you in the pool, and you will have to swim for it. Is what I want to do. But if I throw something chunky and heavy at him a couple nights in a row, I'll keep you guys posted. As of last night, it worked. And when I came here, turned all the lights on in the office, he was at the door, patiently waiting. So I think I've got effing Frank nailed down. Oh, God, he makes me mad.
You know, anybody that's honest, that's a cat owner, I mean, really honest, will admit that they've all had that feeling at 3 o'clock in the morning in bed when they start to hear the cat going and how it just grates at you.
Fortunately, the beast doesn't do it anymore.
He doesn't.
Really?
Yeah, very rarely does he do it anymore. I don't know why he stopped, but he won't beat on our bedroom door, and we don't let him in because he's all over you. So he kept waking me up all night long, so he's not allowed in the bed anymore. But he just doesn't do it anymore. Yeah, he just goes to the bathroom on the floor instead, and he'll do it. He'll poo right beside his litter box just to let us know he's still in charge. Yep, it's not all over the house. It's right beside the litter box.
Are you kidding me? What a jerk. Do you need a bigger litter box? Is his butt
no,
hanging off the
No, it's a huge litter box, and we clean it twice a day. He has no excuse. He just does it to piss us off.
Oh, my God.
What cats do.
Can you get one of those indoor ones? Like, what? Oh, God. I'd be so mad.
Here, let me do my daily winning quick before we get to our first guest. Well, my daily Winnie goes out to one of our auditors here at the Horse Radio Network. Her name is Mona Wheeler. She posted actually on the auditor's Facebook page. If you are an auditor, they have their own Facebook page over there where they chat. And I asked her permission to use this on the show this morning because I just thought every horse owner has gone through something like this. Hey, everyone, I just wanted to share this. It's kind of out of the blue. I found my first horse I got curious about her recently and wondered if I could track her down. Here's the story. I got her in 1995 when I was 10 from a horse trader in Tennessee. She was a short, skinny, dejected-looking mare, but my mother saw something in her. Out of the six or so horses he had in this trailer, my mom picked her. We took her home, fattened her up. I named her Tennessee after an obscure Johnny Cash song. She had a surprise foal that we named Moonlight. After that, she turned out to be a gorgeous 15-hand bay with great manners, and someone had taken the time to start her correctly. She was soft in the mouth and sensitive to the slightest leg pressure and shift in body weight. I learned so much from my mom, Mike, about care and dressage, and I feel like the foundation will never leave me. Anyway, in 2001, my mother passed away in an accident involving another horse. We had three by then. I sold them all with their tack and our trailer to pay for my mom's funeral. I didn't touch another horse till about 2 years ago. The horse crazy never leaves you. I contacted the guy I sold them to, and he gave them to his daughter. She sold our Appy, but he kept my horse and the surprise foal. My old mare is now a fat and happy pasture pet. She's still sound to ride and spends most of her days being loved by the grandkids and munching on grass in a huge 10-acre pasture. I just wanted to share that. I don't have any horsey friends that can appreciate the joy it brings me to know that she is healthy and happy and so sound after so many years. Well, Mona, we all understand that. We all appreciate that. We, by accident, came across the son of the first horse I ever rode. We had sold him, and 10 years later, we were driving down the road, and Jennifer said, "That's the horse. That's our horse." And we stopped, and the horse was doing great. And we've accidentally run into a couple other horses that we've sold over the years, and it's always cool to see that they're fat and happy and doing well. So a tragic story here turned out to be a happy story in the end. And Mona, welcome back to Horses, and thank you for being an auditor. We really appreciate that. Well, coming up next is a guest that I had to have on because she, by far, had the most popular post that we've had on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page in the entire month. You know, we usually have one that really skyrockets every month. And she was kind enough to post this on here because she listens to the show, and her daughter has been a guest on the show a couple of times. Her daughter's name is Robin Donahue. You probably recognize that. And who we have on with us is her mother, Joanne. Hi, Joanne.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning. It's so good to have you on. Now, let me tell everybody, you posted a picture of a quilt that you made. And so we're going to do a little quilting bee here this morning. And you got 2,700 shares on this with like 500 likes and hundreds of comments. It just went crazy. And, you know, and it was something that I went, when you posted it and I reposted it, I thought we'd, you know, maybe get 100 likes on it. But it just went crazy. Were you surprised?
Yes, I was.
It's just nuts. Now, the quilt is made out of your daughter's ribbons. Tell us about it.
Yes. When Robin was in high school, she showed her horse and she showed horses for other people. She actually made it all the way to Appaloosa Nationals. And when I was cleaning the garage, I came across a box of her ribbons. And I just thought, well, she worked so hard to get these that I should do something with them. So what I posted on your Facebook page was the end result.
Now, this is a 6 foot long. Is it 6 foot square, did you say?
It's six. Yeah, it's 6 feet square.
Okay, so this is a big quilt. And from what you said, how many ribbons did it take to make it?
It's about 200, 220, something like that.
Wow. Okay. She did have a lot of ribbons hanging around. So now, was this an idea you got from someone else, or did you come up with it?
I Googled ribbon quilts, and I found an awful lot of pictures, and I came across one that was very similar to this. And I liked the idea of what they had done with the rosettes, because most quilts don't use the rosettes. So,
you know, and I've seen a couple now. Now people have been posting pictures of their quilts, you know, all over the place. And I was surprised how many there actually are. And I like yours because it combines the ribbon pieces with the rosettes. I saw a couple of others that were just rosettes, and for me it was too many rosettes. You know, it was too much of a good thing. And yours combines the two. This, first of all, you've had quilting experience, I assume.
Oh, yeah. I've been sewing for 50 years.
So now, how long did it take you to do this?
I'm going to say 6 months because off and on. I mean, I have to go to work, so I can only work on it on weekends or evenings.
Now, is it a lot of sewing by hand or by sewing machine?
It's all done on the machine, and it's basically a quilt. It has batting and backing, but I did make it as a wall hanging because I knew exactly where Robin would hang it in her house, and so I made it. I made it for that area.
Wow!
That's
incredible.
It's just so cool, Glenn. But I've got to call Robin out on this one, okay? She posted that she used to do shows all the time. She would try to do High Point. She would do 7-8 classes a day, the all-around shows, and then she would at least 4 classes a day at Hunter Jumper shows. She also said that's why she doesn't show anymore, because she showed her butt off. But I would like to point out that there is a large amount of third-place ribbons. And I think, Robin, that you could have done a little better. Nobody's going to win High Point getting third place.
But you know what? Robin, this quilt wouldn't be half as exciting, Joanne, if it was all blue.
No, it wouldn't.
Needed the yellow and the red in there. Needed that.
And a few greens.
A few green. Well, now, and this, she said it in one of her posts that this was not all her ribbons either. There's still more.
There are. I just stopped somewhere.
Yeah.
And, of course, I wanted to use all the ones with the rosettes. I put the rosettes on with Velcro, so if she ever needs to get it cleaned, she can pop them off.
Oh, really?
And get it cleaned and then put them back on where she wants them.
Oh, wow.
That's cool. I didn't even realize that. Now, but this is the question of the hour, Joanne, can you make me one? Can I send you a ribbon?
You have 200 ribbons?
How many ribbons do you have?
How many do you need, girl? I got boxes like Robin. I mean, my God. I just got trophies. So if you could work in some of the tops of the trophies that I got when I was 8 years old.
I can't figure out how to do it. Robin has a silver bowl. I didn't know how to put that in there either.
See, that's genius. I want a
silver
bowl.
She kept breaking sewing machine needles with that one. Kept breaking and breaking.
Yeah.
Now, you've gotten many requests in the comments for this, to make these for people.
So, what about
Robin? I told people that this size thing would be around 800.
I believe that. That was a lot of work.
it is.
And you have the material costs in, too, because there's actually backing and stuffing or whatever you guys call it.
Right. And the time to take those ribbons apart. Those suckers are not made to come apart.
I did notice, too, there's people that make pillows out of them, and, you know, people have been posting all kinds of pictures of their own stuff, and I didn't know all of this ribbon, I didn't know this ribbon enterprise existed. Well, thank you so much.
If Robin wants to do something about all those yellows in there, I do know that in Phoenix, what we do is the purple ribbons, you know, they're like, so the purple ones, if you leave them in the sun for a couple of days, they turn blue. So I like, that's what we do. So maybe Robin leave in the sun, they'll turn blue.
I don't know. I think the variety of color is pretty.
No, I think it's beautiful. I'm giving Robin a hard time. I'm just teasing. But this is a fantastic job, and thank you for getting us a bunch of new likes on our Facebook page, because people love this thing. And I'm going to start saving, and you're going to be surprised when you get $800 in a box of ribbon at your doorstep.
Oh, well, then I'll put it together.
Oh,
it might take
ever.
6 months to a year, but you'll get it eventually.
That's all right.
Now, were you a horse person, Joanne, or was it, or
oh, yeah.
It, Yeah? Okay. So you had your own. What kind of riding do you do?
Right now I drive. I have a Morgan, and I had a horse that I had for 23 years from when she was born, and when she died, I decided that was it. And then Robin got into driving, and she got me into driving, so now I have a Morgan, and we trail drive a lot.
Oh, cool. Isn't that kind of neat? You get to go out with your daughter driving together. That's kind of fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Just too bad she lives 10 hours away.
They always move away, Joanne. They always move away.
Yes, I know. I know.
But she thinks of you every day. She looks at the wall.
Yes, she does. It, she hasn't got it up yet because they have to rent a ladder. And they haven't gotten around to it.
All right, Robin, get with it. Your mom put all this work into making this thing. You put all that work into winning all those third place ribbons. It's time to get it hung up.
Yeah, that's right.
It's time.
Thank you,
and
Joanne.
I know you're listening. Thank you. Thank you
you're
very
good
much
sport.
For having
Thank
this show.
Thank you for joining us. And good luck with your new business.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
She's a good sport to join us. I know she was a little nervous about being on, but she was a good sport to join us. And it is beautiful. It is really neat.
It's really. I mean, it's so cool. So I love what she did. I didn't know the rosettes were on with Velcro because I was wondering. I'm like, if you want to snuggle up with this thing and wrap it around you, not that you would, but if you wanted to, you're going to get some of those rosettes up your butt.
Yeah, more at the wall hanging than actually a blanket, because wouldn't you think that the ribbon parts would get pullers on them real quick? Because that material's kind of, it's different. Jennifer's mom sent her box of ribbons that were still hanging around Jennifer's mom's house all these years. And a lot of the blue ones have turned sort of a brownish, purplish color. So eventually they go from, from blue to other colors, too, if they're exposed to elements. So they don't always say
blue. Turn your purple ones blue. Just leave them in the sun. You'll have all these beautiful first place ribbons.
Well, let's take a break for our sponsor for this half hour, EasySignsOnline.com. And then coming up in a couple of minutes, we're going to be talking horse health and antioxidants in just a minute. Easy Signs Online is the official sign company of the Horse Radio Network. This week's product highlight are their personalized nameplates. Perfect for horse stalls, tack rooms, lockers, bedroom doors, dog kennels, or whatever you can think of. Choose from hundreds of online graphics to further customize the nameplates from EasySignsOnline.com. Made from 1/2-inch thick, solid PVC signboard, these colorful and unique one-sided nameplates are 3.5 inches by 16 inches and are designed for durability, long-term indoor or outdoor use. They are only $39.95 each, and remember, free shipping on most orders over $100. Visit them at EasySignsOnline.com. I have a big question for you, Jamie. Did you get your big-ass truck?
Yes, I did. My dear sweet husband, who Monday morning flew out flight time of 5 a.m., flew to San Antonio, Texas from Phoenix, Arizona, bought the truck, and then drove it home. He got home yesterday. I said, what hotel did you stay at? I was looking up hotels online. He's like, I just slept in the truck. Like, what? He didn't even get out to go sleep somewhere. He's like, it's huge. So, yes, my beautiful truck is there. And Chad, actually, when he was at the dealership, once he had finalized the purchase, I made him take a selfie with the truck. So, and he was like, what? You want me to take a what? I'm like, a selfie. Turn the camera around and take a picture of yourself. So he took a selfie of him in the truck. So we're going to we'll post that on Facebook right now.
And can you reach the pedals? Because, you are not real tall. So
I haven't driven it yet. I'm kind of scared. It's huge. It's like a giant boat. I mean, it's not even, it's a Dodge Ram 3500 dually, which holy cow, like the mirrors stick out real far and the wheels in the back, it's like having a girl with a big butt, you know, like you just, or having a big butt. I've been there too. So, yeah, it's like you can't quite get through everything you used to get through, you know?
Yeah, you know, parking is a two-spacer for sure.
Yeah, no, here. I figure at any parking lot, I'll just go to the end. You know, I'm not going to stress about this. I'm just going to go to the end. Yeah, no, it's beautiful, and he did a great job, and I'm a little nervous to drive it, so it might be a while. I'm going to stick with my little sedan, my little family sedan for a while.
What color is it?
It is silver, and you know what is the one thing that he even talked about? He's like, if we get a silver one, it'll match the trailer. Oh, my God, I married well. Seriously, my husband is concerned with our truck matching our trailer. Yay, so it matches the trailer. We've got a cover on the trailer, so I can't get a picture of the two together yet. But we'll post the selfie, and you can see my attractive husband and our new attractive truck.
Yay.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You're now a proud mama all over again. Only this is a little bigger.
This one's bigger and scarier.
Yeah. All right, it's time for this.
It's time for the Horses in the Morning Horse Health Report, when our intrepid hosts, together with an unlucky member of the equine veterinary trade, attempt to inform, enlighten, or terrify horse owners everywhere into funding a Kickstarter campaign to mass-produce Kevlar-coated, bubble-wrap-lined equine products.
And I'd like to welcome Dr. Carrie Williams to the show. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Fantastic, fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, what you've been doing here is a study, and I'm going to let you give the name of it, because I always say it wrong.
You mean a study in oxidative stress? Is that?
Antioxidants and oxidative stress. I don't know. My nose is stuffy. I'm a mess this morning. So, Dr. Williams, thank you so much for being on the show. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. I'm the equine extension specialist at Rutgers University, and many people don't know what that is, but I basically am, people think, do I make horses longer? I was like, no, not that kind of extension. But
that's a good question.
It is. I'm the liaison between the university and the horse owners in New Jersey. So I can take research that's done here at the university or other universities and try to make it practical for our horse owning public. So the great thing about my job is I also do research, so I understand a lot of the research as well as I understand how to talk to the horse owning public. So I do a lot of that, bouncing back and forth between the university and being out in the industry, which is what makes my job so fun.
Yeah, no, and so, like, when something happens, like, we had the big outbreak of the equine herpes virus, and there was a veterinarian who was the one who kind of talked to everybody. Is that, that's what your job would be, to calm down the masses?
Yes, I do that, not necessarily on the veterinary level, because I do leave that for the vets to you know, worry about those sorts of things, and we've got great state vets that are able to do that. But, you know, I'm here for people to call me if they have problems with their farms, pastures, or their horses' nutrition, or if they just have any sort of horse management question, they can call me. Granted, I'm not the expert in everything, but I have a really good base of experts here at the university and throughout the, you know, the region and even the country that I can call, I can get answers for them, and I can direct them to the people who really can help them if I can't.
Okay.
So so that's a big role of mine. I do a lot of farm calls. I do a lot of helping people, you know, with their pasture layouts and their pasture management and with their horses' nutrition if they have something tricky that they're worried about in their horses' diets. So,
and
so
you're
I do
also
a lot of that.
You have your doctorate in animal and poultry sciences. I have a couple chickens. How does one get a doctorate on chickens?
Actually, that was the department at Virginia Tech, was the Department of Animal and Poultry Science. So, okay. Granted, I have never fed a chicken in my entire life. But
oh,
the
what?
Funny thing is, I did get a call yesterday from someone who had a chicken problem, and I was really wondering why they called me. But that's exactly why they called me. But yeah, my doctorate was specialized in equine nutrition and exercise physiology. So that was my specific title. And my dissertation got even more specific because I looked at antioxidants and oxidative stress of the endurance horse. So I did a lot with endurance. Granted, I don't ride endurance, but I did a lot with the people who do compete and ride these, you know, very amazing endurance athletes. So.
Okay, we're going to get to the study in just a second, but it begs the question, what was the chicken question that you got called about yesterday?
The person had some problems with their eyes. They were draining, and they were wondering what was making their eyes drain. And
call the vet.
Exactly. I gave her the state vet's number, and I said, call them.
Nice.
Glad we're on the same page there.
Yeah, exactly. Call the vet. Just call the vet. So mm-hmm. Let's talk about the antioxidant, the oxidative stress study that you did. First of all, let's talk about, because you see it on labels everywhere, antioxidant. Oh, this is another antioxidant. What is an antioxidant?
That's a great question. So our bodies we're healthy, hopefully we're all healthy. And there's a system in our bodies when we breathe oxygen, not 100% of it goes, completely through the system and everything happens nicely. There's about 2-3% of this oxygen that gets kind of spit off as free radicals. A lot of people have heard of free radicals. There's also things like that are reactive oxygen species. So they have molecules that are very reactive, and they start to interact with our cells, whether it's muscle cells, immune cells, nervous tissue cells, anything in our body, because they need to pair up with something. They need to have a partner. So instead of these free radicals pairing with our cells and destroying our cells, they will pair up with our antioxidants, things like vitamin E, vitamin C, glutathione, selenium. The list could go on forever. These antioxidants will take the place of our cells, and they will pair up with these free radicals and reactive oxygen species so that they don't damage our body's cells, so that they don't break down any of our muscle tissue or any of our nervous tissue or decrease our immune function. So they kind of are a combative nutritional product that helps keep us healthy, basically.
Oh, my God. I've wondered that my entire life, and you finally explained it to where I got it. I got it. That makes sense. So antioxidants are going to go through and collect all the garbage that's bumping around in our system and flush it out, basically.
Exactly. So that there's always a good level of these reactive oxygen species or the free radicals in our bodies, because if our bodies have a bacterial infection, that's how we sick these free radicals on the bacteria, and they will kill the bacteria. So that's part of our immune function. However, when it can go bad or when it can go wrong is when these free radicals start to take over our body. And instead of just killing the bacteria cells, they're starting to kill our body cells. And that's when the antioxidants will jump into play, and they'll start helping us out and clean up the garbage, like you said. So the problem with these free radicals is as we exercise, and that's getting to part of my study, as we exercise, we are increasing the amount of oxygen that we breathe. I know when I run, I huff and puff like mad. So you can tell you're increasing more oxygen. So therefore, you're increasing the amount of these free radicals that are being produced just because you're taking in more oxygen. So therefore, our bodies, in theory, need more antioxidants when we're exercising to take care of the extra free radicals. And the same could potentially, and this is leading to my study again, hold true for our athletic horses.
So. Okay. So you talk about breathing and getting it in. Before we get to more into the horses, it's just a dumb question. Do people that, say, smoke or breathe in a lot of secondhand smoke, do they need antioxidants more than other people, or is it just you can only take in so much?
That is a great question because, yeah, smoking is you know, number one cause of a lot of oxidation in the system. You know, the sun's rays on your skin, too, that's actually causing radiation and damage to the skin using free radicals. So anything like that could require a higher level of antioxidants. And there has been a lot of human studies done looking at, you know, smokers in high levels of antioxidants, is it reversing the effects of the smoking? They're good, but they're not that good, unfortunately. You know, yes, it would help, but, you know, it's not going to, they're not going to, they've been doing a lot with cancer as well and looking at antioxidants, and are they helping, you know, cure cancer for the most part? And again, no, they're not that good. They do help. In some situations, but, you know, they're not going to be the wonder drugs, basically.
Yeah, a lot of the claims on labels of food and antioxidants always say, you know, they're cancer fighting.
Right.
So that's not
and
really true, or?
Well, to some degree, they are. They do help the body. But, you know, if you already are a cancer patient and you start taking these, it's not going to cure you, you know,
right,
to that effect. If you are on a very healthy diet, you have very natural foods that are high in the antioxidants, you know, your cranberries, your blueberries, some of these functional foods that have these really high levels of antioxidants in them, you're always at less of a risk for these sorts of things. So you know, there's nothing that's ever the – sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so how do we work this out in horses? Do we, obviously, when they puff and puff and event horses and race horses and, all, you know, the endurance horses, obviously, they're going to have some free radicals in their system. How do we flush that out of them?
Mm-hmm. And that was kind of my first question when I first started looking at antioxidants in horses. I was a grad student at Virginia Tech, and, you know, the endurance horse was the number one model because, you know, they're traveling 50 to 100 miles in a race. They're, you know, go, go, go. So we looked at the levels of oxidative stress. You know, were they being stressed? Did they have higher levels in their systems when they're exercising? And sure enough, they did, and they did actually have a lot of wear and tear on their muscles. Their muscle cells were breaking down so that the components inside the cells were leaking out, and they were having just a lot of metabolites in their bodies were getting thrown off because of the exercise. Granted, it may not have been apparent, but when we took some blood samples and when we took you know, these series of samples during a race, it was evident. So we looked at several different antioxidants. We looked at vitamin E, vitamin C, lipoic acid is actually a new one that's, you know, hits the markets really heavy in the UK, but it's just starting to be really popular here in the US.
What's it called?
Lipoic acid. It's L-I-P-O-I-C, lipoic acid. So you can go into any drugstore and you can find it on the shelves as well. So we looked at some of these antioxidants in horses and found that when we did supplement these endurance horses with high levels of the antioxidants, their muscles were better able to cope with the long-term exercise that they were undergoing. So they had less of the leakage out of the cells. So there's a lot of things in our muscle cells that need to stay in our muscle cells. And we can tell when there's damage because these things inside will leak out. So that's how we tell, are the antioxidants working, because are the things inside the cell staying where they should be? And after a lot of these antioxidants, the high levels of vitamin E particularly really helped these horses keep their muscle cells healthy. So that was kind of the really first study I did that was really, really exciting. There, because I'm an eventer as well, I decided to check it out with the three-day event horses at a competition up here in New Jersey at one of the elite levels, at the two-star and three-star, which is just under the Olympic level for those who might not know. And that was really exciting to work with some of these, you know, near Olympic level athletes. And to see, does the same hold true for these horses as it did with the endurance horses?
Mm-hmm.
And I was very interested. Well, I was very surprised to find out that they aren't undergoing quite the level of oxidative stress that our endurance horses are. And even though they're doing very intense exercise, it's different. You know, they're not traveling.
Is it because it's for short bursts of time as opposed to long, steady?
Exactly. It's much shorter. You know, they're not galloping for 8 hours at a time,
right.
You know, like these 100-mile or 50-mile rides are. You know, they are going intensely for, you know, 8 to 10 minutes, but then it's done. So a lot more of the short-term high bursts of energy don't have the same levels. With that being said, they still are under stress because there was a little bit there, just not quite to the same extreme levels as the endurance horses. But we also took surveys from the riders and asked, or owners, you know, whoever was in charge of their feeding program, and asked them what their feeding program looked like to see were these horses already on really high levels of antioxidants or, you know, even some of the mineral antioxidants and things like that. And they are. These horses are very, very highly supplemented. So this might also help. You know, we didn't have any control because these weren't our horses. We couldn't tell everybody, you know, okay, stop feeding your horses and then go compete. So you know, doing studies like that, you know, while they're definitely valuable, are a little hard to say, well, we don't know what would have happened if they wouldn't have had any supplements. So
how do you test the oxidative stress level? Are you taking blood, saliva, what?
It's blood samples. So what we did with the three-day event horses, which made it extremely exciting, I worked with the vets, the FEI level vets that were there at the property, and they let us take blood samples before the cross-country phase, because really that's what we were concerned about. So we did it after their jog, when they first get to the venue. They first get settled in. They do a veterinary inspection. We took it right after that time point. So that was kind of their pre-sample. And then we sat in the vet box after the horses came through cross-country, and we took a blood sample about 20 to 30 minutes following cross-country. So it was still while they're huffing and puffing, and they're still worked on being cooled out and things like that. And then we took it the next day, so 24 hours later, when they did their next veterinary inspection and they found out that they were, you know, okay to continue competition, we took another blood sample. So there was three of them that we took. And
now,
this allowed
I'm
us
a,
to...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm
go
sorry,
ahead.
I didn't mean to interrupt.
No,
no
go
say,
ahead.
I'm
I could talk forever.
Inventor. I say, I'm an inventor, too. And they do the random drug testing. You know, when you're getting drug tested at a horse trial, they will show up at your dressage, your cross-country show jumping, and they will follow you back to the barn, wait for your horse to pee, and then draw blood. And I always thought, that's so not nice. Like, my horse just worked his little heart out, and now you're going to stick him with a needle. Like, that just doesn't seem fair. You're going to suck some blood from him. We're going to stress him out, take blood.
Mm-hmm.
And then here you are taking these 2- and 3-star horses and popping them 3 times before and after.
And I will say this was completely voluntary. This was not mandated by anybody.
Did the horses sign a waiver? Hello, who printed
the horses
the paper?
And the owners, unfortunately. Yeah, the horses couldn't sign the waivers, but the riders and the owners did. I talked to the group of riders at their rider meeting beforehand, and I explained what I was doing. I explained how, you know, this could help benefit the horses in the long run if we can figure out, you know, exactly what I mentioned earlier. And I just asked for voluntary participation. All the riders got their horses' data when we were done, so we sent them nice letters and a description of what their horses' you know, levels of antioxidants were and what the levels of the oxidative stress was. And we took weights on all the horses as well. So we had a full panel of information, and a lot of the riders are really interested to see, like, where does my horse fall? Am I doing the best I can at competition for my horses? And, you know, am I at the highest level that I can be, and am I doing really good, or do I need to do more? So I really had a lot of interest from the riders, which was really good to see. It was really nice to see that they were interested, and And that's just helping us out, but helping the horses out as well. So,
well, I'm sure the riders were super interested. I would be too, but my horse sure would be pissed off.
And unfortunately, I did have a lot of riders that said, you know, I would love to do this study, but my horse is petrified of needles. And I said, well, then we don't want you in the study because I don't want to get killed.
So, yeah, good call. Good call.
Yeah.
Well, Dr. Terry, before we let you go here, we're running out of time. Where can people find out more about you and actually, you know, get a hold of you or see about the study?
Well, we have an excellent website through the Equine Science Center at Rutgers. They can go to esc.rutgers.edu. And there's a lot of information from past studies. There's actually, they can pull up the actual study that we did, or they can find my email, and they can email me from that website and ask me all sorts of questions that I might not have covered today.
Well, that's good. And we do have a ton of New Jersey listeners. Actually, one of them is going to be on the show here in a couple of minutes. But I know that we have a ton of them. Before you go, you have something in common with Jamie. Not only are you both eventers, but if I'm seeing your Facebook page correctly, you got married on the beach in Florida, and so did Jamie.
I knew I liked her.
That is funny. Yes, I did, actually, June 2nd, so it's been fairly recent.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Oh, my God. I got married on May 29th. We're like sisters.
Wow. We are totally
crazy.
Sisters.
Crazy.
Now, where did you get married? What? Where in Florida? Real quick.
It was Anna Maria Island, just off the coast of Sarasota, Bradenton, in the off the Gulf.
Yeah. Yep. Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Congratulations to you,
Jamie. She sounds happy. She's still in her honeymoon. That's why she sounds so happy.
No, I'm back to reality now. Honeymoon's over.
Thank you,
Dr.
Williams.
Oh, you got married this year. Yeah, I've been married almost 5 years. It's old school for me now.
Excellent. Well,
you
both.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good
You
That's
too.
Funny. I saw that on her Facebook page. Like, yeah, she's a lot of fun. But I saw her pictures there. I was like, where'd she get married? What beach did she get married on? I said, Florida. She got married in Florida. You guys do have a lot in common.
That's awesome.
She was energetic, enthusiastic, and easy to understand.
Yes.
Which
no,
I appreciate.
The way that she finally explained that, I mean, I've been consuming antioxidants because I things say they're cancer fighting. So I've been eating, but I didn't know how they work.
Yes, I didn't either. I just knew that you were supposed to, they were good. They were a good thing, which is what we know about most of the health things they tell us about. It's either good or bad, and we don't know why, and we don't care.
Just do what's good and don't do what's bad. Exactly. Oh, I do want to let you know that I got a message from Robin Donahue, whose mom made the quilt, and she said that her blue and red ribbons were in a box at her house. She's like, I have them. I'm like, whatever.
Oh, she can give those up?
I'm just saying.
She didn't like you calling her out.
Nope. She's a little mad at me, I think. Oh, well. Sorry, Robin.
All right, let's do our song for the day. It's I'm Gonna Fly by Casey Smith right after this word from one of our auditors. And we'll be back with the EquityMSG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge.
Hi, this is Gina Moronic from Wisconsin, and I am an official Horse Radio Network auditor, something I'm really proud to do and to be a part of in a small way because it's something that I get a lot of information from. The Horse Radio Network and the convenience of the downloadable podcasts means that I can improve my horsemanship skills, my riding skills, or just really enjoy listening to friendly, informative programming whenever I'm driving to work or working on chores or at the barn even. So I hope you find it as enjoyable as I do. If you do, go to horseradionetwork.com and click on the banner to become a Horse Radio Network auditor. For as little as $1 a month, you can be involved in this great thing, too, and keep it going. Thanks.
Chance that I did not take. Now I'm gonna do what
Well, that was Casey Smith with I'm Gonna Fly. You can find all of her music at caseysmith.com. That's Casey with a K, smith.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek here with Jamie Jennings and Coach Jen in the producer chair. We are coming to you every day from 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time, and we appreciate you joining us here today. You know, Jamie, I just tried to post a picture, and I can't get it to post. I have to download it first. One of our friends in Pennsylvania posted a picture of her donkey that is pregnant and about to have a baby, and my God, it is the fattest thing I've ever seen in my life. It is so funny looking because she took the picture butt from the front, and it looks like bowling ball with big ears. I have to post this thing. I'll get it saved down and post it on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. It is so funny looking. Oh, my God. You know how you come across those pictures on Facebook? You just take a double take? That was one of them.
Yes. So it doesn't look like it's about to produce more baby zombies?
Yes, it does, actually. Quite a few. It looks like there might be 12 in there.
Oh, no. Okay, put that on our Facebook page.
I will definitely put that on the Facebook page when I get a chance here. And I saw the picture of Chad up there in front of the brand new truck. It looks good.
Yes, it's beautiful. And he is too. Whatever. But the truck is gorgeous.
The truck is absolutely beautiful. Are you ever going to be able to drive the truck, or will he be just claiming it and that'll be it?
You know, it has leather seats, which I hate leather seats.
Oh, especially in the summer. Me too. We do, too.
In the summer in Phoenix. Yeah. So I told him, I said, I want to put a seat cover on it. And we've already discussed the fact that we won't need one for the driver's seat. The seat cover will go on the passenger seat. So I think that's where I'm going to sit.
You know, it probably has heated seats, though, but you'll never use those. You'll never be using the heated seats.
Not in Phoenix. Good God.
All right, let's play a game.
It's time for the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge, where each week a different unsuspecting world-renowned celebrity equestrian is pitted against a humble Horses in the Morning listener, willing to risk it all for a prize package or a nod of approval from one of the greats from the equestrian universe. Now, let the battle of equestrian acuity begin.
It is time for the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge, and we have our wonderful celebrity coming up here very shortly, who I met in person here not too long ago and have a story to tell about that. But first, we have to mention that our contest today is brought to you by EquityMFG.com. And, of course, they are the maker of the finest manure forks in the world, the sturdiest, best designed manure forks out there. And, Jamie, I know you're still using yours, and now you've gotten a couple of them, so there are no more fighting over them, right?
Yes, there's no more. Yeah. No more fighting, but, you know, the sun destroys everything here in Phoenix, so I'm very meticulous about putting my manure forks, the Equity ones, away. So I put them in this room that Chad has, and it's covered in a metal. Well, the sun hits the metal so hard that it gets the door. This is a long story, but it's true. The door gets so hot that I couldn't open it the other day. So I had to use one of the old manure forks that was sitting on the sun. Crappy ones. Oh, my God. What a difference. You forget. You get spoiled. You get used to it. And then you use one of the really crappy crap forks, and then you realize how great your life is with the Equity fork. So I don't know how they're going to make it. Maybe if Joseph could figure out a way to make a automatic door opener for me, then I could use my fork all the time. But I have to leave them out of the sun. I don't want them to get damaged.
We have Joseph inventing a lot of stuff. You know that. We've got him busy for like the next 10 years. So if you want one, if your manure fork's on its last legs, you know, if you got one of the tines broken off, do not go. to that, you know, that store you usually go to buy manure forks, just go online to equitymfg.com. Yes, it's a little bit more expensive than the ones to buy at your store, but they last freaking forever. So go on there, buy it. You will not regret it. It's the only manure fork we know of with a suspension system built in. You will not regret it, especially if you clean paddocks with grass. You want one of these because there's a huge difference. All right, let's meet our celebrity for the day is Debbie Metcalf. She's been on the show many, many times. She, of course, you'll recognize from NetPosse.com and Stolen Horse International. Hey, Debbie.
Hey, y'all. How you doing?
Good. So good to have you back and not talking about something bad. You know, we're having you on for a little fun today.
I love fun.
Well, that's good, because that's what we're going to do today. Now, I met you for the first time at Road to the Horse here in Kentucky in March, and I got to tell Jamie this. Well, while I was there, I was a good, dutiful husband, and I bought two of the do-it-yourself microchip thingies that Debbie sells there through NetPosse and Stolen Horse International. And Debbie says to me, these are do-it-yourself. They have a big needle and everything. You take it home, your wife will be able to do it if she does shop. And Debbie, I bring this thing home and I show it to Jennifer. She goes, oh my God, I am not putting that in my horse's neck. So I'm happy to report that months later, the vet came out to give the normal shots and the vet put the microchips in our horse's neck. And our horses are now officially microchipped. Yay.
Yay. You know, yeah. I won't do that either. Because I don't like needles either.
The truth comes out.
But my husband does, and we had a microchip clinic last weekend, and the horses that were down there, they just stood perfectly still. We taught the people how to do it themselves, and everything went as smooth as it can be. I think it really comes down to what people think of the needle, not so much what the horses think.
Yeah, we didn't. I thought it was big, and then
it is pretty big, but it's the same one the Chihuahuas get.
He actually anesthetized the area a little bit too. I'll talk about pampered poodles, you know. So, yeah, we spoil our horses, Debbie. But now they're spoiled and safe. Now we
yes, they are.
Microchip.
I'm so proud of you.
I know. Well, you know, I got a popular little pony. I have to make sure he stays here. I don't want anybody showing up and stealing scooters. So.
And you put your signs up, right?
Yes, we have our signs. So, yes, with our actual signs that say, keep the heck out. Our ponies are microchipped. And then I wrote below it, and I have a gun. So,
oh, we have a sign for that, too.
Debbie, of
we
course,
do have a
is...
sense of humor sometimes.
Debbie is from NetPosse.com, and, of course, everybody that listens to the show knows who NetPosse is and is responsible for helping find more lost and stolen horses, I think, than probably anybody. And, Debbie, we really appreciate your efforts over there. But that's not why we're here today. We are here today because you are being challenged by one of the happiest listeners we have, and that is why we call her Happy Barbie, and she is from New Jersey. Hello, Happy Barbie.
Good morning, Glenn and Jeannie and Jennifer and Debbie Metcalf. I get to play Debbie Metcalf. I'm so excited.
Hey, Happy Barbie. We're going to both be happy today.
Oh, yeah, awesome, awesome. And Debbie, my ponies are all microchipped.
Yay!
Congratulations. Yay!
You can do the bell.
But I don't have the threat sign. I need to get the threat sign.
Yeah.
Oh, we got the threat sign.
I would like everybody to know my ponies are not microchipped because I would love for somebody to steal them. Take them off my property. Somebody come and get them. I don't care. They're free. Whatever.
Do you want me to arrange that for you? I know people.
Debbie knows people.
People. You know people. Make the, we'll,
I can
we'll
get
talk
it done.
The show.
Get her
we'll
done.
Talk after the show.
Leave the truck, yeah, though. Right. Don't touch the truck.
Amen, sister. I am a sister.
Happy Barbie, do you even have a last name?
Yeah, it's Allegretta, and it stands for happiness in Italian.
No, it doesn't.
You're lying.
Yeah. God's honest truth. Think of Allegro, right? People say Allegro coffee and Allegro this and Allegro. It means happiness in Italian. Google it. I don't have a computer, but you guys
God,
Google it.
We
yeah.
are.
Is that funny? And I married psychic. That.
We are psychic.
And I married that. Yeah, yeah. That's only been 10 years. That's new.
Did you always know that meant happy?
No.
No.
Okay, so that's not the reason you're so happy?
No, we started calling her Happy Barbie. That came from us, I think.
That's the Horse Radio Network.
Well, you always are. Every time we've ever talked to you, you've been happy. So we're going to find out if you're happy at the end of the day.
It's in New Jersey. It's 70 degrees. It's sun out. I'm hanging out with horses. Yeah, I can't beat it. But I do want to, if I do win, I just want to chat. I don't want to win or lose. But I do want to donate my prize to Jamie and the MASH horses.
Aww.
Because Jamie's just serious to win the prize. Very serious. Yeah, I don't want prizes. I just want to chit-chat. But I want to win. Oh, me and Debbie are going to play. We're going at it.
We're going at it.
Well, the prize today...
Something I know here.
Well, the prize today is a large box, $100 worth, of Redmond Rocks from Redmond Equine, harvested from a natural sea salt deposit deep within southern Utah. Redmond Equine Minerals contains more than 60 beneficial trace minerals. Redmond Equine Minerals help provide the essential trace minerals missing from many natural forages. And my pony will lick on that thing for 20 minutes. I mean, he'll chew on it. He acts like it's candy. We haven't found too many horses that don't love Redmond Equine.
Yeah, we got the boxes of them from Equine Affair last year because you told us about it. So the guy, he hauled them into our truck. Yeah, definitely.
Do they like them?
All the horses love them. Oh, yeah. They're all hanging on the wall. And, you know, it keeps them from chewing. Sometimes they paw at the gates or chew at the gates or chew at the wood. I put them on all the gates, and they don't bother the wood. They're hanging from all the gates. Yep. I put them everywhere, and then they don't bother the wood. They lick on the rocks.
Well, that's a really good idea. And they actually have, when you get your box of stuff from them, they have human salt in there, and we use that. That's all we use. That's all we use now.
I love it.
Made from the same stuff.
But no, it's going to Jamie and the MASH horses. It's going to Jamie and the MASH horses or Debbie's horses.
Okay, we'll see who wins. Jamie, how is it going to work?
All right, how this works is I'm going to start asking y'all some questions. We're going to start with Happy Barbie, and then we're going to go down to Debbie. 1-1-1-1, and then the winner is obviously going to get the prize. And then if we need to get to the tiebreaker, I will explain that when we get to it. Are you guys ready?
Yes.
Yep.
I'm ready. I'm going to get you, Happy Barbie.
All right, it's all for love here. Barbie, true or false? True or false? And let me point out, too, that I did not know some of these questions, and I would like everybody to direct their complaints to jennifer@voiceradionetwork.com. If you have a complaint, send it on over there. All right, true or false? A Western saddle has 3 jockeys.
No. False. Oh.
Jennifer, get on here. Turn your mic on. Tell everybody what the heck a jockey is, because I don't know. I didn't know. A Western saddle has 3 jockeys, a front, a seat, and a back. And on a Western saddle, the jockey is the part of the flap that is below the seat and above the lower skirting. You know, when you look at a Western saddle, it looks like a little bit like a layer cake. And that middle layer is the jockey.
It's ridiculous. That's a ridiculous question.
Who
Happy Barbie.
That?
I'm going to almost give you a point for that, because that was...
Because Debbie wants me to win because it's going for her MASH horses.
Exactly. I'll be fair.
Jamie, change the question.
Yeah.
Jamie, change the question.
I know, right?
Okay, go ahead.
What type of horse is a gypsy fan? Or no, just kidding.
Funny
it's a black and white horse.
Yeah,
I got that one. Can I have that?
All right. Debbie, true or false? The latigo strap on a Western saddle is comparable to the billets on an English saddle. True or false?
False.
All right, 0-0 right now. Goose egg to goose egg.
Perfect.
So at least you know what? I'm going to give both of you a point because those questions were ridiculous. So it's 1-1. How about that?
You like that, Barbie?
All right, we're good to go. It's all about the salt.
Okay, now we're moving on to question number 2. Barbie, the premolars and molars. This is multiple choice, so wait for all your choices.
My dentist the premolars, coming today.
There you go. You can ask.
Is he?
But she's not sitting next to me, so I might not get it. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. You learn something every day. The premolars and molars are collectively called what? The A, speculum teeth, B, side teeth, or C, cheek teeth?
A.
It's the cheek teeth. There's
I got that one.
Yeah.
You knew that one, Debbie?
You're asking her the ones I know.
I know. Either way.
And she knew yours, so that's how we do things here. We just like to mix it up. All right, Debbie, your turn. You guys are having a great time losing. Multiple choice. Severe abnormalities in the teeth compromise a horse's ability to chew, making him more susceptible to what? Is it A, cribbing, B, choke, or C, parrot mouth?
Can you repeat the question, please?
Severe abnormalities in the teeth. Barbie, keep your mouth shut. Severe abnormalities in the teeth compromise a horse's ability to chew, making him more susceptible to what? Cribbing, choke, or parrot mouth?
Parrot mouth.
You guys are on a roll.
You guys are on a roll. You're the worst we've ever had, collectively.
And I promised you I would be, didn't I?
We're the best losers ever.
You guys are awesome losers. This is fantastic. I hope we go to the tiebreaker at 0-0.
You better ask an easy question.
That was, let's clarify, that was choke, by the way, was the,
yes.
Because if you can't chew, you're going to choke, right? It goes down bigger. Yeah.
I don't even think I needed to give the answer. I think everybody
that was
else
logical, but I just kept seeing all these deformed teeth and.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great,
see, you didn't think great. Jennifer would ask a logical question. See, that was the issue right there.
It was too
I
easy,
live with her.
So I picked the other answer.
That's right.
How about
you,
that one?
You stick with that. You stick with that, Debbie.
Yeah,
all right, Barbie.
Stick with that one.
It's the pressure. It's not the question. It's the pressure.
I know, right? I get it, because I was in the hot seat, too, and it's, like, amazing. You don't even remember your name when you're in the hot seat. So, all right, what is the first letter? Well, I'm sorry. Let me start
Who
over.
Gets it?
What? This is for Barbie. Back to
okay.
Barbie. What does the first letter in the number letter sequence of a thoroughbred or standardbred lip tattoo represent?
It's not multiple choice.
No, this one's easy. What does the first letter in the number letter sequence?
I don't know. Remember I told you years ago I didn't know anything about thoroughbreds? I'm going to say the
well,
year.
Well, you just got it.
The
you
year?
Just got it right. You got it
year
right.
Year of
yes.
what? The year of what?
Like with Friesian horses, whatever, like they pick like W and they're all named W that year. And they pick like, you know, the year, it means the letter means what year it is.
What year or what?
Wait, year of what?
They were born.
Yeah, that's right. That's
yeah!
all we needed.
We needed it. We know it's a year. But
oh, the year of
oh, birth.
Yeah. The
year
yes.
of birth.
Oh, that was a dart in the dark. Yeah, that was a lucky one. That's because, like I said, the Friesian thing, they name all horses W 1 year.
Finally got one right. Yes.
Somebody finally got one right. Fantastic. We're going to move
on
to
Debbie.
Now the pressure's on.
I know, right? You have to get this to move to the tiebreaker. What is the name of the American Standardbred Registry? What is the name of the American Standardbred Registry?
Name or initial?
Name or our initials?
They register the standardbreds.
Yeah, it's what it says on the top of their registration papers.
Oh, I know what it is. It's just going right out of my head. And you know I know what that is.
It's just trotting right out of her head.
The Trotting Horse Association.
That's darn close. Do we give it to her? It's the U.S. Trotting Association. That's close enough.
We're She gets it. We're giving it to her. Dear God, she got a word right.
Time or pressure.
No hints for Glenn there.
No, you got no hints. All right, so this is how we're going to work.
Glenn can cheat for his girl. You got to cheat for me, Jamie.
I'm trying to give you points. It's currently 3-3. So we've got to go to the tiebreaker. And how this works, you guys, is I'm going to give you a clue. Wait a minute. Give you another clue. Wait a second. Give you another clue. And as soon as you know the answer, you use your name as your buzzer. When I hear you call, you say your own name, I will call on you, and that's when you can answer the question. Because if you yell out the answer, I don't know who said it, and, you know, I'll be accused of cheating. There will be, there's four clues on this one. This is called Name the Movie. Name the Movie. Okay? Of course it's a horse movie, horse-ish movie. This feature was filmed in South Africa and released in 2005. Dustin Hoffman, Whoopi Goldberg, Jeff Foxworthy, and Snoop Dogg supply the voices of some of the supporting characters. The International Movie Database, IMDb, lists 8 different crew members involved in training zebras for the film. The movie title uses wordplay involving the main character thinking he's a thoroughbred and he has a unique coat pattern.
Oh, my friend helped produce this movie. I forget what it is. I don't know. Debbie,
your
you know?
Friend helped produce
I see
it.
The, I see it in my head. You know, I see
yeah.
the, but I don't really do cartoons, so I don't know the name of it.
I didn't say it was a cartoon, did I? Thank you very much. An abandoned zebra believes he's a racehorse.
Oh, that one. Oh, I had the wrong one, but I still don't know the name of it.
No, I don't know the name of it either.
That's because nobody saw this movie.
Call Redmond Rock and tell him to split the box between Debbie's group and Jamie's group. Because
tell him
we
you feel sorry for both of us.
I think I'm having it sent to me for Scooter at this rate.
It starred
I think 5 seconds are up.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. What is the donkey's name start with? Or the zebra's name start with?
I didn't
no,
see
that wasn't my...
Without, can you see the name? Do you know?
It's Racing Stripes. Racing Stripes. Not ringing a bell to anybody?
I did see that, but how long ago was that?
2005.
I remember that part.
Yeah.
No, my friend's husband produced a different movie. That was a cartoon. I forget what movie it was.
Okay, so let me
just point
out here.
This has ever happened before.
A losing tie?
This is embarrassing. And again, you guys, these questions were horrible. So you just email Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com with your complaint. She will file it along with the other ones. So
I know the people listening are going, are you kidding me?
I don't get it. I don't know what to do, Glenn. What do we do?
I think we, I don't know what to do either.
Split the box.
Okay.
We'll do that.
We'll
just send it to Max.
Do you even have any horses there, Debbie?
I was gonna give it to Stolen Horse International and put it up for a donation to help raise funds for us.
Why don't we do
that?
Let's
do that.
Why don't we
do
that? We'll definitely do that. We'll have it sent out to you from Redmond Equine. Mash got some stuff here a little bit ago. So
no, they did not. They got a $25 gift card. They got a fly mask out of that. So we still, let's send some to them too. Come on, Glenn.
All right. Well, we'll talk to Redmond. They're pretty good about it.
They're
so
good.
We'll send
They'll
it
send
both
it.
Of them.
They're yeah. good. They're good. Tell them I'll buy extra when I go to Equine Affair.
I'll give mine up to Mash. I don't have a problem with that.
No, actually do both. But, you know, it's hard to do these as an auction item because you don't want to ship them out because they weigh about 100 pounds.
Yeah, but what we'll do is let Local. Redmond ship to whoever wins.
Oh, there you go. That's a good idea. But so yeah, then they he is very good about this, and he will definitely ship it out to both of you. So, Debbie, hold on one second. it's netposse.com. Hold on one second, and we'll make sure that Jennifer will get on with you and get the address where to ship it to.
Okay.
Or work out the details with you anyway here.
Can me and Debbie have a losing rematch in like 6 months or something? I want to chat with her again.
Okay. Yes, we can do that. You guys are good contestants. You suck.
See if
we
can do better or do worse.
That was embarrassing.
Thank you, Happy Barbie.
I promised you, Glenn, that I would be this stupid, didn't I?
Yes, you did. And, you know, I have to say, Debbie said to me yesterday, I don't want to come on and play because I'll look stupid. And I said, Jamie and I do that every day. Somebody else has to join us. We don't want to feel alone. So.
And the good news is we paired you up with somebody who also didn't know any answers. So it's worked out perfect.
Well, Happy Barbara, how many names of my answers did you know? Because I knew some of yours.
I knew the Radigo one and then the Choke one.
Yeah, and there was at least two of yours that I knew. I knew about the tattoo because that's my area of expertise. And I was going, ooh, why didn't I get that one?
Glenn, should we just go and let them talk?
Guys want to end the show for us? We can just cut out of here. That'd be great.
See you guys later.
You want us to do the show for you? We'll do the show.
You got 7 more minutes. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye, y'all. Thanks for having me.
Talk. Bye. Bye.
See you, Debbie.
Bye-bye.
I love these guys.
Thank you, Happy Barbie.
Yeah, we need to have a loser rematch later on. So Debbie and Barbie, you guys will have to come back on. That was fun. That was a lot of fun.
You know what we'll have to do here at some point, too? We're going to have a tournament of champions where we get some of the big winners on together and some of the celebrity champions challenge each other. Has any celebrity ever won? I think we've had a couple maybe that have won.
I don't know. I don't even remember what I did before breakfast this morning. So.
Oh, by the way. We have a clarification from the very beginning of the show. We were trying to figure out how we came into the conversation of the colored poop in the royal carriages at Princess Diana's parade. And apparently that was something that Leslie from Horse Nation brought to the table and posted, and then we talked about on Monday. So,
yeah. And she said it was real.
Yeah, well, we're going to correct her next Monday and let her know that it really wasn't real because we have authority. We know from the person who was there driving the carriage.
That we're going to correct. I'm looking for that one right there.
I don't remember what post it was, but Jennifer said, yeah, it was definitely, and I remember talking to her about it. So we'll definitely have to correct it for sure. Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for joining us. That was a lot of fun. I'm smiling here. My mouth hurts from smiling. We had two very happy contestants today, and that's terrific considering how bad they did. So
that was hilarious. Hilarious.
Well, Jamie, you enjoy your husband being home for a change, and get out there. Take the truck for a test drive around the block. You know, I heard that they still make phone books, so you might be able to get one to sit on.
I need probably clogs as well, some platform shoes to reach the pedals. Hey, I found it. It was the What the Muck Is That Manure edition. And these are supposed to be facts about manure, fun facts, but true facts about manure. And they said number 9 was before Charles and Diana's royal wedding, the carriage horses were fed dyes so manure would match the wedding's pastel color scheme. And I said, boo! That is not true.
And we found out from the authority, David Saunders, coachman to the Queen for 20 years, that was not true.
We're coming at you, Leslie. We're coming at you next Monday. It's on.
I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll take that clip out of, and we'll play it for her on Monday. I'll just take cut that clip out, and we'll play
Even
it for
better.
Her. Yeah, because he laughed. Thought that was pretty funny.
Good. Everybody come back next Monday.
Don't forget you can listen to the show with our app, iOS or Android. Download it. We had hundreds of people download it last week. It was one of our biggest weeks yet. Just search for Horse Radio Network. Don't search for Horses in the Morning. Search for Horse Radio Network in the App Store, iOS or Android, and it's free to download. It's the easiest way. Now, our show is not live on there, but the recorded version goes up immediately after, so you can listen to it later in the day. And, of course, we have a ton of other shows here on the network. Don't forget that. We have 10 of them. So hop on over to horseradionetwork.com. This is the best.
Obviously. Yeah.
And I say that on every one I'm hosting, by the way. Uh-huh. I say that every,
Y'all That's have a great it, day. Amy. Thank you for joining us. That was super fun. We love Debbie and Happy Barbie. They're just, you just pull the string and let them go, and they'll take care of the rest. So that was awesome. You guys have a great day. Spay, neuter, and geld.
Enjoy that truck.
I'm going to go practice driving.
4 miles to the gallon.